Welcome, Hoosier Nation, to our 121st episode of The Hoosier Sound, where we are the official podcast of Indiana HQ. We're recording this edition of The Hoosier Sound on Monday afternoon, December 23rd, 2019, where I am your host, Matthew Lukens. On the docket for this afternoon, Notre Dame recap, Arkansas preview, and a bowl game chat, and a little bit of a preview there as well. So here with me tonight is the one and only Nathan Krishnan and Andrew Root. So how you doing, guys? How you doing, Nathan?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Andrew?
Oh, Nathan, I'm living the dream back down here in Bloomington while everybody else is out of the town. I'm still holding down the fort here.
Yeah, Bloomington's a nice place when there's nobody there.
Oh, absolutely. Parking's incredible.
It's like a ghost town. It's so weird. Did you guys ever spend the summer there?
I spent a few weeks there once, like right after the school year ended, and it was like 90 degrees, and it was just the best.
I know.
No, that's not fun. I can't stand the heat.
Well, you wouldn't like that. It's about 85 here in Florida today. So
nope.
My weekly rub in of Florida weather and your faces up there in the north. Mm. You guys getting any snow for Christmas? Is it gonna be a white Christmas up there?
I don't think so.
It's 50 degrees here.
Oh, really? That's kind of warm. That's nice.
Beach weather.
I kind of argue on that. Well, anyways, speaking of beaches and Beach Grove, we played in Indianapolis this past weekend, and the Indiana Hoosiers, the basketball team, yes, played the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, if you were not aware already. And we came out victorious, 62-60, in what was a nail-biter of a game, though if you watched the first half, you would not have known. The Hoosiers jumped out to a big lead. They were leading by 17 at one point, and then the Notre Dame Fighting Irish roared all the way back to take the lead, and then the Hoosiers found it in themselves in the last 4 minutes to play great defense and get enough clutch baskets from Armand Franklin to will them to victory by 2 points over the Irish. So, Nathan, overall thoughts so far on the Irish game, and you know, how stressed were you about 3/4 of the way through the game?
I'm torn on this one, to be honest with both of you. Like, on one side of things, Indiana did play really well for the first 25 minutes, but then what happened? We saw the same problems that have plagued this IU team in their big opponent competition this year, in their high major opponent competition, where they just don't have that consistency. It happened against Florida State, it happened against UConn and Nebraska, and it happened again against Notre Dame, where they play great for some time, and then they stink for some time, and it almost killed them. But I guess the key word there is almost, because they did find a way to win, especially after Notre Dame took a 5-point lead there late in the second half. Once again, this team could have quit. They could have laid down at that point. They could have turned against each other. But Archie Miller said after the game, he didn't have to encourage anyone on the sideline. He didn't have to pick them up emotionally, so to say. Everyone was locked in. They were just going through a bit of a rut. Well, a 10-minute rut, in all honesty. But, you know, okay, they found a way to win. But I just don't see how they can continue to play this type of basketball once the competition really picks up, when Maryland and Michigan State and Michigan and those kind of teams come around.
Yeah, Andrew, you feeling the same way, same sentiments?
Yeah, I'm feeling the same way Nathan is. I was there. Rob and I were up at section 215 in the nosebleeds of Bankers Life watching that game. And Nathan was right. 28 minutes into the game, IU played a great ball game. And then that final 12 minutes – their weaknesses showed. Defenses was kind of sagging off a bit. And then Notre Dame just got anything they wanted. IU's offensive stalled. Couldn't get guys open. Too much standing around, I thought. And then Notre Dame, credit them. They took care of that. They exploited IU's weaknesses. And they ended up taking the lead by 5. But good job by the Hoosiers. Not folding under pressure. Armand Franklin stepping up big. He went into the game, I believe, shooting 4 of 27. Something like that from threes. And he hit two big buckets in the last couple minutes of the ball game. So it was 2019. Another freshman came out in the Crossroads Classic, just like 2018.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, do you think it's I feel this way. Do you think it's an overreaction to say that Armand Franklin saved the season against Notre Dame?
I actually don't think it's an overreaction because we talked about on the last podcast how important these next three games are for IU, right? Especially against Arkansas, which we'll talk about later. But look, to have a 17-point lead against a team and then give it up, like, that could derail a season. Like, that is what happened to us last year, right? Like, constantly. We would just get in a hole early against a team, never be able to get out of it. This time we're getting in a hole because we just let ourselves, like, a team get back into it. You know, and just those deflating kind of losses that we had last year, this would have been another one where just been like, you can throw it back to last year, been like, how many losses we have last year? We're just like, oh, I don't even want to watch basketball anymore. I don't want to do the podcast after this. This is going to suck. And this was one of those games where I was like, if we lose, I'm sitting there on my couch like, I don't even know what I'm going to say. Like, I'm going to have to, like, stop myself multiple times from saying things that are just going to be too ridiculous. I'm just going to be so emotional about it. But thank God Armand Franklin was on his game, because Rob Finnessy was not on his game this game. And we'll talk about that in a minute. He had his worst game in an IU uniform. Al Durham didn't show up. He's supposed to be our junior leader. He's a captain. Didn't show up. Devontae Green had some good moments and then some very typical Devontae Green moments. And so as far as the guard plays, three out of the four guards had a mediocre at best game. And Armand Franklin was there. He chipped in 14 minutes, and we needed all 14 of his minutes, 4 of 5 from three. When you said, Andrew, I think he was 4 of 17 going into the game.
Yeah.
He was 4 of 5 in this game alone. And, you know, we only hit 5 threes in the game, and he was 4 of them. Like, this team needs floor spacing, and we'll talk about that in a minute, too. I'm sure you guys are going to bring that up as well, because Notre Dame just stacked the box against us. It's just like, at all times, they had 3 guys, 4, maybe even 4, with their feet, like, on or within the box, and just cutting out, you know, passing lanes to Trace or Joey, and couldn't get a post feed in. And, you know, they were daring us to shoot over them, kind of just like what UConn did and kind of just exactly what Wisconsin did, just like daring us to shoot the three-pointer and see if we make it. And Armand made enough down the stretch in the last couple minutes that we pulled out the game. But guys, like, what do you think, you know, we're going to see a game like this from Rob Finnessy again this year or what? Because it was, you know, kind of, you know, disturbing to say the least. This game was not good.
It's a good question, because Indiana needs a lot more out of their backcourt overall, regardless of who it is. Someone needs more than one. I'd say 2 or 3 out of those 4 guards need to step up every single night. And that 4 I'm talking about are Franklin, Green, Durham, and Finnessy. And even if you don't have a great game, you can't have the game that Robert Finnessy had against Notre Dame, where he went 0 for 6. He missed his 3-point shots. He wasn't really a factor offensively in any way. Defensively, he was okay. He made a couple nice stops. He was in rhythm on defense, but you've got to be a bigger contributor than that going into year 2. But, you know, on the bright side, I guess you did see Armand Franklin really develop into potentially a key piece to this offense. I'm not expecting him to play 30 minutes going forward, but if this is a guy who can hit the occasional 3-point shot and help space the floor a little bit, that'll do wonders for this IU team. And that's aside from the guys like Green and Durham, who probably just had a bad game, and going forward into Big Ten play, they need to bring it every single night.
But in this stretch of the last 4 games, how many bad games has Al Durham had? Like, I feel like our struggles from the outside and our struggles offensively to score, even though, like, we're in the top 5 in almost all statistical categories in the Big Ten, which is weird, and we'll talk about that as well. But it feels like we've been struggling, and it's coincided with Al Durham having games of 5 points, 4 points, 7 points, and I think 4 points, if I remember correctly. And it's like, he's one of our captains, one of our 2 captains. He's supposed to be one of the rocks on this team. He's supposed to play really good defense and, you know, be a 3-point shooting threat. And I can't remember the last time he made a 3. And he just seems to be rushing shots. And when he tries to drive into the lane, which is fine, like, I like him being aggressive driving to the lane. Like, that's great. But I feel like he just, I don't know. He just rushes it or whatever, or, you know, just puts up some weird floater in the middle of the lane where I'm like, just go to the basket, try to get fouled. Like, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to hit free throws. I don't know. Andrew, you feel the same way or?
About Al, I was watching the game on Saturday. When Notre Dame was in their zone, I thought Al did a really good job at least getting inside in that zone, driving, trying to find guys. So even if the shooting is not there consistently, you got to find other ways to get your teammates the ball or find open looks. And he did that. When you play against a 2-3 zone, you got to get the ball in the high post, move the ball, find open gaps anywhere you can. And I felt like Al did that. He just didn't have a good night.
That's fair. And to be fair, this team is known for shooting a lot of free throws, and we only shot 12 free throws for the whole game against the Irish and still found a way to pull it out. Like, we've been averaging, like, close to 20 free throws, and that's, like, 8 under the average for us. And we shot 7 of 12. Like, what happened to the free throw shooting? We were shooting so well, and now we're back down to 7 of 12.
Can I give the I think we've reached the point in the podcast now we've gone long enough without talking about Trace Jackson Davis.
Yeah, right?
That's fair. I mean, once again, for sure. I mean, understandably, it happens to everyone because the guy seems to be just, you know, he just steadily, calmly, quietly does his, you know, 14-7 or whatever it is. And
it's a real quiet 14-7, isn't it? Like,
I just, man, this guy, he is, I mean, for someone who's a true freshman,
two blocks as well.
Two blocks, and even when he doesn't block shots, it feels like he contests them at the rim and affects them. He doesn't make life easy for the players inside. So, once again, Indiana isn't 11-1 at this point without Trace Jackson Davis's contributions. And at this point, you know, with IU struggling to get to 62 like they did against Notre Dame, and they struggled to crack 50 against UConn, I wonder if at some point Archie Miller just needs to set aside his complicated, well-researched and thought-out system of ball movement and just say, guys, we're going to spread the perimeter and feed Trace Jackson Davis the ball inside like he's, you know, Dwight Howard or, you know, some other awesome post player in the NBA like Karl Anthony Towns or Nikola Jokic right now. Like, give Jackson Davis the ball. And if the defense is collapsing, kick it back out and then refeed the post, because this dude, he's already good and he can only get better from here.
Yeah, just go into some circa 2010 Orlando Magic Stan Van Gundy offense and just four shooters on the perimeter, put Dwight Howard, Trace Jackson Davis in the middle and hope for the best. You know, we went in this podcast and we talked a long time, and we didn't mention Trace Jackson Davis. I also want to mention Joey Brunk's first half. He had a very good first half. I think the team in general had a very good first half, but Joey was playing really well. Like, between last game and this game, like, this is probably the best we've seen Joey play in an IU uniform. He had 9 points, 14 rebounds, 9 points, 14 rebounds, 3 assists. And in the second half, he didn't play as much, but in the first half, he was really instrumental in us getting that 17-point lead.
Well, and I understand in certain games, Brunk might be on the bench a little bit more because teams are going smaller and smaller nowadays. But even in a lot of these other games we've seen this year, like, where has this Joey Brunk been all season? I mean, the guy basically had a double-double in the first half. If he can bring this going forward, that's going to really help Indiana. It doesn't matter that he's a senior or he's a junior and not a freshman. Like, if he can be a walking double-double, or at least, you know, especially at least 10 plus rebounds, that's going to really help in Big Ten play where things are physical and things are contentious. And it's not just Brunk. It's a lot of different players. We talked about Green and Durham, upperclassmen, whose game-to-game performances just seem to vary like crazy. I don't get it.
Justin Smith as well. We can talk about that a little bit, Andrew, but 2 of 10 from the field. It's weird because Justin's like one of the most athletic people on the court, and I feel like he's just afraid to be athletic sometimes. Like, there's times where he just gets into the lane and you're like expecting him to go for a dunk, you know, go up and make some try some athletic layup, maybe get fouled. You know, he shot 1 free throw this game, was barely fouled. I felt like he shot way too many hook shots, and he's just falling in love and with these post moves that just go up and put the ball over somebody. Like, you have the athleticism to do that. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think you're spot on about that. He did shoot too many like faders and those type of shots on Saturday. Yeah. I just think, well, everybody knows he's got the body for an NBA prospect. I mean, he's probably going to test the waters again after the season, not to get too far ahead of that. Should.
Yeah.
But I think he's just got to go inside and just use his strength. Exactly like what you said. You're 6'8", 200 plus. Use your size like a man and get in there and just dunk it on somebody. Sunday against Arkansas, I want to see him just slam it down on somebody and just bring his authority. And that's what he needs, because I feel like a lot of times guys focus too much on their outside game. And if you're so reliant on your outside game, your inside game is going to slip up, and that's going to bring you down mentally. And if you just go inside and work your way out, if you want to develop a three-point game, mid-range game, yeah, but the high percentage of shots are on the inside. Use your strength, do a post move, do something, get in there, just slam it on somebody.
Absolutely. Well, and that's and to me, it's as someone who's seen a good number of games this season, the issue is not effort with Justin Smith. That's not a problem. Just to make that very clear, he's 100% engaged and his effort's there every play. I think a lot of times he maybe makes things a little bit more difficult than they should be. Sometimes I wonder if he's trying to think about the play that's being called and the place he needs to be and the moves he's going to make when he gets the ball. Justin Smith needs to make things simple. He needs a Staples, you know, that was easy button. He needs one of those. He needs one of those things because, you know, I bet like if we lined up all the players to just play some backyard basketball, all the IU players, Justin Smith would be my first or second pick to just play, you know, a pickup game. So he needs to have that kind of mentality. So you're going to, okay, fine. Maybe Andrew's going to take Trace Jackson Davis first. And I can see that, but maybe second. To be fair, all right, I'll probably take Justin Smith second. But right now, you wouldn't say that Justin Smith is the second best player on Indiana's team. So that's where it needs to get to, because that is the kind of player he can be, especially if he does want to get into the NBA.
Yeah, for sure. And look, the NBA is a very athletic league. You know, it's all about athletes. And so, yeah, I mean, Justin Smith can find a role. He's just got to find consistency first, right? And he has been anything but consistent so far this season. It looked like at the beginning of the season, like, wow, you know, Justin Smith maybe turned the corner. And then we realized maybe it was the competition. And now the competition's got harder. Like, where's Justin gone? So hopefully he finds a Christmas present over the break and comes back to the Arkansas game and is dunking on people, because that would be wonderful. Any last thoughts on the Notre Dame game?
A couple of things I got still. We're talking about Al Durham having an off night, Rob Phinisee. The same players aren't going to have the same output every night, so we need to take that into consideration. Rob didn't have a good night in the 15 minutes that he played. He had two assists. It was Trace Jackson's, Davis's night, and really all of the Indianapolis kids' night. Franklin, Brunk, all those guys had a great night. So we just need to consider that every night it's probably going to be a different team for this ball club. They have not found their consistent score. Devontae Green, been playing like he's been playing, can get an open shot. I hate that he's too flashy sometimes. Like, if you're going to dribble, I was always taught if you're going to dribble, dribble with a purpose. But that was me. So that's one thing we need to consider. The other thing is, how do you blow a 17-point lead? I'm still frustrated with this. If you want to be a good team in the Big Ten, and we all know Archie Miller says all the time, winning is hard. And he's absolutely right. Winning, and no matter who you're playing, whether it's Notre Dame, whether it's Western Illinois, Evansville, whoever you play, it is hard to win in college basketball. And we understand that. But the team, if you want to be good, you should not blow a 17-point lead. Now, we did give them credit for coming back when they were down by 5, but they shouldn't be in that position in the first place. In my philosophy, once you're up, you keep putting your foot down on somebody's throat. I don't care if you're up by 20, 30, 2 seconds left in the ball game, go up for a dunk, do something. Keep that going, because you're putting your foot down somebody's throat and you're stating that you're not going to come back and you're going to win this ball game by a lot.
Yeah, we didn't see that killer instinct at all during this game. And you know, we got that 17 point lead, I was like, wow, we're cruising. This is nice. And then all of a sudden, you just see it slip. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, we haven't scored for like 6 minutes. Like, what happened?
And I'd like to, and I'd like to take the fact real fast that I called that. I was blowing that lead. I told Rob can check me on that. I called that. So just want to throw that out there.
Niffin in our group chat went, wow, we're playing great. And I said, don't say that in my head. And all of a sudden, they start going on the run.
I said, we're playing great unless we self-destruct from here. And that's exactly what happened.
You said, we're playing great in one message. And then in the separate message.
It was a follow-up. I mean, it was one train of thought. It was one train of thought. Because, like, I think those two things were true, right? Like, Indiana did play really well in the first half and change of that game. And then we saw a lot of the mistakes that Andrew was talking about. And with Devontae Green, you know, Archie Miller said time and time again, you take the good with the bad. But for me, it's still like, as look, the good wasn't there on Saturday. I mean, he wasn't, you know, well, he ended up with, you know, with 11 points on 5 of 11 shooting. That's not exactly Michael Jordan. So, the couple turnovers, I remember a turnover he had against UConn and one he had against Notre Dame where he almost literally just handed the ball to the opponent.
Yes.
Or just literally threw the ball out of bounds. I mean, those are the ones where you just want to go crazy because when he's on, like he was on against Florida State, great things can happen. The other thing I'm excited to see going forward, though, as my sort of final thought from Notre Dame, is how important will Armon Franklin be for this team going forward? Because Archie Miller showed that, you know, he's willing to play Franklin 15 minutes or so in a game like Notre Dame, where nobody was expecting him to be a big contributor. If Franklin can continue to hit a few more threes, that is going to bring a very valuable quality to this IU offense, something they desperately need. And in Big Ten play, where your games are separated by a couple of points, a couple of three-point shots can make all the difference in the world. So I know he's a freshman, but will we see Franklin more and more as the year goes on?
Andrew, what are we going to see him more or what?
I think so. I mean, with the depth this team has, guys are going to get more minutes each night, especially if you're in the game and you can hit a shot, unlike the poor performance last year of shooting by a three-point line. If you're on the court and you can hit some three, hit some mid-range jumpers, you're probably not going to get taken out as long as you keep up the hard work on defense. So I think Armon's still going to get more minutes, obviously, and it's just going to be finding the right – group. And I know that Rob puts out our what lineups work, that kind of thing that he puts out on the website, and it's just gonna be finding the right Archie's got to find the right rotation and to get us going. And I think with some time with Christmas break running around, they can get some more work in fundamentally and find the pieces that they need to go ahead and make a run in the very hard Big Ten schedule.
Absolutely, very hard is an understatement. This Big Ten is Anyways, moving on. Niffin, who won this week, past week in IU sports?
Yeah, there were a lot of quality performances as usual. We talked about Armon Franklin. He was named co-freshman of the week in the Big Ten this year, in this past, actually earlier today. So
yeah,
we're recording this on Monday. So Franklin was named co-freshman of the week in the conference. But the men's soccer team got a number of postseason recognition. Aiden Morris was named the freshman of the year in the country, according to Top Drawer Soccer. Jack Marr, Victor Bezerra, and Josh Penn all got recognized by Top Drawer as well. So IU, who finished ninth in the final polls, they were stunned by Santa Barbara in Bloomington in the NCAA men's soccer tournament. But still, a good number of players received a ton of postseason recognition, and IU soccer will look to get that next championship starting next fall.
Yes, sir. All right. So,
hey, real fast. Yeah. I just someone on IU's website. I don't know if we alluded to, but Armon Franklin was named Big Ten co-freshman of the week.
Yep.
There you go.
Didn't know if we had put that announced that out already, but I'm just noticing the website right now.
Yeah. So, all right. So, before we get to our next segment, I want to remind listeners to subscribe, rate, and share the Hoosier Sound wherever you listen to podcasts. We got an announcement. We got Andrew Rude's new segment, Rude Awakening. Andrew, you want to explain a little bit about what that's going to be about since we have you on the podcast?
Yeah. So, what it's basically going to be is about 10, 15 minutes or so each week. It's just basically going to be talking about whatever happening in IU sports, provide my insider thoughts, maybe rant about a couple things. I'm not going to be all full they should do this, all that, but I'm just going to provide my thoughts like a normal person. And no, it's not going to be no Stephen A. Smith, no yelling like that. It's going to be calm, cool, and collected. It's going. We're going to work out the kinks right now, hoping to get a release this Friday. It's going to be about every Friday, I think, work on my schedule. That's what it's going to be. So maybe have a couple other contributors on, provide some thoughts. And if there's games or whatnot, we're going to do maybe a quick little preview or a recap on what IU should do entering the game.
All right. You heard it here first, folks. So check out on Friday, The Rude Awakening. Reminder, next week's podcast will be at the same time as this week. So that is, you know, in the afternoon on Monday, and we'll release the episode Tuesday morning. And that's due to the holidays. So no live recording. Sorry, there's going to be no live chat this week. But there is a YouTube video if you guys want to go check it out. Anyways, Arkansas preview. So this weekend, you know, having the weekend games, you have a break for Christmas, and they get to go back home or for a couple days and come back and then get back into the swing of things. We are playing the Arkansas Razorbacks, who are 10-1 in the and first in the SEC. I think they're tied for first because they haven't played an SEC game. But anyways, that's besides the point. They're 10-1. They're coming into Assembly Hall. We're 11-1. So this is a pretty big game. But neither team are ranked, and we can talk about that and you know, be upset about us not being ranked. But that's besides the point. Arkansas is a good team. So, Nithin, Arkansas, what do we got to look out for from this team?
Well, first of all, they're ranked 37th in the KenPom rating. So even though they're not in the top 25, they're still a top 40, top 50 squad. And they're going to be coming into Bloomington next Sunday. First year head coach.
That's a quad one win opportunity, by the way, everybody.
Absolutely it is. You're absolutely right. And you know, we'll see if – I mean, the SEC looks pretty vulnerable this year. So we'll see if Arkansas can maybe steal a few wins there too. But
sure.
Eric Musselman, first-year head coach, came over from Nevada. He's got some NBA coaching experience. It's crazy that we're talking about Arkansas for the third time since the start of last season.
I know.
Indiana's played no one else three times in that span, so it's pretty funny how somehow the Razorbacks have been the most matched-up team so far. But the one thing that stands out about Arkansas right now is their team defense. And right now, according to teamrankings.com, they have the second best defensive efficiency in the nation, just after Virginia. So they've played some softer teams, which has contributed to that. But still, in his first year, Musselman has really established a kind of defensive identity that we saw some of his Nevada teams have the last couple of years. Yeah. There are a couple of dudes who stand out as far as Arkansas is concerned, and we saw them both last year. Mason Jones and Isaiah Joe are two players that can really light up the scoreboard. They're both guards, and Archie Miller has made it clear so far that Indiana has deeply struggled to defend the guard position this season. We saw a couple of those Nebraska guys go crazy last week when the Cornhuskers came to Bloomington. So
yeah.
Jones and Joe put up in total 15 threes a game for Arkansas. So those two guys are capable of taking a bunch of shots and making a bunch of shots. Mason Jones averages 19.6 points per game. Isaiah Joe averages 16.8. They get some complimentary scoring as well from guys like Jimmy Witt and Desi Sills and Adriel Bailey. But Jones, for example, who's, again, a guard, he averages over 6 rebounds per game too. So Indiana's backcourt is going to be tested in this one. On the other hand, they're a little bit weak up front, so Trace Jackson Davis and Joey Brunk should really be able to take advantage, as well as Justin Smith, who's probably going to be, once again, the most athletic guy on the floor. So interesting matchup. I expect IU to be favored. I expect IU to win, but it won't be easy.
Your thoughts, Andrew?
Yeah, I think, Nithin, you're spot on. Arkansas has really good guard play. It's going to come down to what Archie Moore's has been talking about, the on-ball pressure defense. It has to be there spot on when you're closing out, stutter stepping, hands up, high in the air. Got to go full Martin Lawrence style, break that icy hot out. Get your hands up on some defense. Love talking about that. And then it's going to also come down to, can IU impose their will on the glass, not on the glass, inside as well? Because like Nithin said, they're weak on the front court. Their tallest guy is a 7'3 guy, but he does not really play. Their other guys go 6'8, 6'7, 6'9. So size benefits IU. But with that being said, a lot of guard play on the perimeter, probably going to be a lot of more pick and roll action. Can guys like Trace Jackson Davis, Joey Brunk, when they're hedging out hard, Can they be able to hedge out, recover back as well, have some weak side help defense come over? I thought they did a really good job against Notre Dame for the first half on doing that. They hedged out hard and able to recover. So it's going to come down to on-ball pressure defense, getting your hands up, IU bullying them inside, which I feel like they're going to be able to do. It's going to be at home, Assembly Hall. No students over break.
Right.
So you don't know what the crowd's going to be like. I think it's a 6 o'clock tip-off, 6 or 8.
Yes.
So no excuses. It's going to be a night game. So come out, hands up on D, and see where the offense takes you.
Fun fact about Arkansas, too, they have allowed the lowest percentage from three-point this year. So in all of college basketball, 21.8% of three-pointers from their opponents go in. So Indiana's best bet in this one is probably just going to be pounding it inside and getting buckets close to the rim.
Yeah, I think you're right on with that. And we talked about getting the ball to Trace, just let him go to town. Okay, with this game, that's probably going to be a possibility, get Brunk the ball, get Trace the ball. But once that collapse comes down, they start double-teaming. Guys need to be ready to hit those shots. You said Arkansas's defense won the tops in the nation when it comes to shooting percentage or efficiency. This is the time that if they're collapsing inside, you need to be ready because you're not going to get a whole lot of threes up against this team.
That's right. Yeah, and you talked about Nebraska earlier, Nathan. This is a very Nebraska sphere offense, right? Like, they're very guard-heavy. Like, we're going to see a lot of three-guard lineups, maybe even some four-guard lineups against IU, trying to space us out and try to get our big guys, you know, one-on-one, whether it's through pick-and-roll or on screens or whatnot, and should have their guards go to work. So, look, Mason Jones, Isaiah Joe, even Jimmy Witt Jr., like, all three of them are really good guards, and they're going to go after us hard. So, like, look out for them for sure.
I got a fun fact about Jimmy Witt. You want to hear it?
Sure.
So Witt, he's a senior. He started his college career at Arkansas. Then he transferred to SMU. After a couple years, he's like, nah, I'm gonna transfer back to Arkansas. So now he's here and he's playing like 35 minutes a game. I don't know if there's anyone I can think of in college basketball, at least, or football for what it's worth, that's transferred out of a school and then back to it later on.
Well, I don't know college, but in the pros, Marshawn Lynch is rumored to be joining the Seahawks again. So,
yeah,
pro reference. Yeah. There you go.
It's strange. You never see that in the college game, huh?
I know. Yeah, my Eagles might be playing in the first round of the playoffs if we beat the Giants. So, we'll see. Hopefully, I don't see beast mode on that field. Otherwise, I'd be very concerned. Anyways, any last thoughts on Arkansas? On predictions or whatnot?
Go ahead, Nathan.
So, as far as I'm concerned with IU, I think IU will win this game. I thought the Hoosiers were going to be perfect in the non-conference at the start of the season, and they're one win away from doing that. It's an Assembly Hall home game. IU should be able to take care of business, but Arkansas won't make it easy. So that mental test that IU has been sort of towing the line dangerously with UConn and with Nebraska and with Notre Dame, they've got to bring a level of intensity for 40 minutes that we just haven't seen yet. I think they'll find a way to win, but they've got to elevate that urgency and that intensity because Maryland's coming around the corner.
Yep. Andrew?
It's going to be close. I'm back and forth on this, but I'm going to go with my instincts. Say IU's going to gut it out. What a tough game. I think they bring the energy for a full 40 minutes. What we saw against Notre Dame in the first half, that translates into the entire game. I think you need to set the tone. The moment you step on the court for pregame shoot around, you need to set the tone for what your team is going to do for this ball club, because this is it. This is their last tune-up before a ruthless conference schedule when they start at Maryland on the 4th. Yep. So you got to come out, set the tone, get the ball working inside. If you get some outside shooting from Green, Al, Franklin, all those guys, yes, that's going to benefit you because it's going to be a gut wrencher because, like Nathan said again, Arkansas's defense is very good and IU's offense has struggled at some parts this season. So it's going to be about to the end and it's probably going to come down to free throws at the end. And IU has done a fairly good job at free throws this season. So
Yeah, I agree on the free throws. I was about to say, I was like, in order for us to win this game, we got to get to our average on free throws. Like, we got to get their big guys into foul trouble. We got to have that bench, you know, be shortened a little bit for Arkansas and them having to go deeper into the bench. But like, honestly, I like don't have a very good feel about this game, right? Like, just you know, get those like gut feels where you're just kind of like, oh, this game just I can't see us winning this. This is one of those for me. It's like, it's over break. It's just after Christmas. They just got home. Their brain's going to be somewhere else. Arkansas is going to be coming in all pumped up to play in Assembly Hall. And, you know, we already know what they did to us last year when they played in Assembly Hall. And they're a pretty good three-point shooting team. And we struggle against teams that shoot the three-pointer really well and that have really good guards. And so I just think this is not a great matchup for this IU team. If we pull it out, that means really good things for the rest of the season. Like, that's going to be awesome if we can beat, you know, an Arkansas team and have that on our resume. But I just can't see us pulling this one out the way we've been playing.
Oh, can you officially say you're going to predict a loss?
I am saying
that on record.
I'm saying, wow. As of now, I'm predicting an IU loss. And it doesn't pleasure me at all to say that. Let's just put that out there. But I respect it. If I'm a betting man, I just can't. I got the gut feeling, man. I can't, you know, get rid of it. I do think it's going to be a close game. I don't think they're going to come in here and run us off our home court. But I just look, I trust their guards to make more clutch shots than I trust our guards. And like, after the last game, it's like, oh, we had a freshman bail us out. And look, Armand, you know, it's, you know, a little bit of a disservice to call him just a freshman, right? But look, Armand hadn't been playing well all year, and we had what was, you know, seemed like a fluke game from him, you know. And are we going to get a performance like that from somebody else this game? Like, I hope so. But, you know, we can't have all those guards, you know, Rob Finnessy, Al Durham, and Devontae Green playing like they did last game and have any hope of winning this game.
Yeah. I got another prediction for you. So upon noticing the Notre Dame game on Saturday, excuse me, Archie Miller did not take his jacket off the entire game. I know. That's been a joke this entire season. We always joke about that. So I'm going to predict that things get tight and he takes off the jacket, just throwing that out there. Gets it back going. Just like to see that fun stuff out of Archie. Love it.
Is he going to do the Archie take it off or the Coach K slam it into one of his walk-ons?
I think he's just going to take it off. It's Archie. He's pretty classy.
Okay.
All right, so if we're on the subject of bold predictions, I guess mine for the Arkansas game would be that Trace Jackson Davis drops a 30 burger on the Razorbacks. I think he's going to get that career high.
Okay,
I think he's going to get 30. Okay, all right, yeah.
We're going
act as if that's some sort of – okay, yeah. Yeah, right, sure.
All
right. Yeah, sorry for that. I'm putting a little bit more faith in the superstar freshman than like the current coaching staff does. so no, I think he's going to torture the Razorbacks inside. And we're going to be talking about a new career high for the Center Grove High, Trace Jackson Davis.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Yep. All right. So we're going to stop with Arkansas. We're going to move on to the social media shout out. And that is, I'm just going to shout out Armand Franklin's mom. Cause she had some wonderful reactions during the game to Armand's big game. And then after the game, she was going at it with a couple IU fans and in a good way, not going at it in a bad way, but going at it in a good way, a couple IU fans. So shout out Armand Franklin's mom. She's the best. We love her. She's been on the pod. You know, go look her up on Instagram and go look her up on Twitter. And then our Instagram is indiana.hq and our Twitter is @indianahq. Please go follow us. We put out a lot of really good content. We let you know about when we're posting articles. We retweet all the latest news and post all these great pictures that we work so hard for to take at the games. And sometimes even the players love them so much that they share them on their stories. So go check us out on Instagram and Twitter.
So on Instagram, too, we have an angle of Armand Franklin's game-winning three-point shot that you can't see anywhere else. It's video of the game-winning three-pointer. So, you know, if you're bored of seeing the same highlight on ESPN or on YouTube over and over again, head over to our Instagram page and check it out.
For sure. All right. So we're going to talk about the bowl game probably in depth next week and probably have a long podcast on it. But I just want to cover it really quickly in this podcast because we are about a week and a half out from the bowl game. So just – your guys, general thoughts on what we should look out for from this Tennessee team that will go more in depth next podcast.
So, yeah, I can get started on that. Yeah. So Tennessee this year finished the regular season 7-5, 5-3 in the SEC. And all in all, they're a team that's better on defense than they are on offense. So it kind of lines up perfectly with IU's strengths, where IU's offense going up against Tennessee defense will be a real clash of the heavyweights, whereas the other side of the ball will be, hey, which team can make, which side can make fewer mistakes, Indiana's defense or Tennessee's offense. Tennessee's quarterback is Jarrett Garantano. He is not sort of a real NFL prospect or anything like that. He's mobile, not a dual threat. Tennessee's got a lot more going defensively for them. They've got guys like Darrell Taylor, who's a pass rushing NFL prospect. Their secondary is really good with Nigel Warrior back there. So it'll be a fun matchup. Jeremy Pruitt is the head coach at Tennessee, came over from Alabama. He was a defensive coordinator. He was also defensive coordinator at Florida State and Georgia. And then there was a little bit of news earlier this morning where Indiana confirmed that offensive coordinator Kalen DeBoer will be calling plays in the Gator Bowl on January 2nd. So that's kind of a high level look. Tennessee's a 1.5 point favorite, over under is 51. So you should expect a close game, whether you're there or whether you're watching on TV. Indiana HQ and the Hoosier Sound do not condone irresponsible sports gambling.
No, we do not. Andrew, your thoughts on Tennessee, anything to add?
No, I've not gotten a real good chance to take an in-depth look at Tennessee yet. Basketball and finals stuff really got me going there. I just looking at the spread and everything, according to ESPN's FPI, their football power index, Tennessee is a 52% favorite compared to IU's 47. And then Tennessee still has the spread at minus 1.5, over-unders at 52. So I think it's going to be a good game. I'm predicting we're going to go in-depth next week, but I'm predicting IU with the win. It's just going to come down to can IU not endure a let up because of the break? Because IU hasn't had a chance to play in many, many bowl games. They played this first in 3 years, I believe. So they haven't been accustomed to, okay, you finish the season against Purdue, you have a long break. What are you going to do with that break? And can you do enough to get you ready for that ball game? And the coaches have talked about, they're getting a lot of work in that they haven't gotten to during the season because they've been scouting and whatnot against good fundamental work. So it's going to come down to can they not let this break affect them going into that ball game. If they come out strong, firing on all cylinders, Peyton Ramsey gets the team going with Watt Fillier, Nick Westbrook, Peyton Hendershot, the receiving core they have. And then if you add in Stevie Scott, if he can maybe get a couple, one or two scores, that can really help them offensively. And Tywan Mullen, Raekwon Jones, those guys just got to do what they do and bend, but not break. You can bend,
for sure,
just don't break on defense against an SEC team.
That is true.
We've got an in-depth, deep dive scouting report and preview of Tennessee and the Gator Bowl over on our website at IndianaHQ.com. We just published it today. So, you know, it's holiday season. You probably have a little bit of downtime. Spare a few minutes, you know,
it's
worth the read, and then sound really cool at your Christmas or New Year's parties before the Gator Bowl on January 2nd.
When you're eating that pie, you know, take a dive into that scouting report. We do a great job breaking that down. Absolutely. So if you're gonna get the best information out for you, Niffen wrote it, so should be a good one.
Yeah, you can break down sort of the real battle in the trenches. That's what really fires people up at holiday parties.
Yes, absolutely. Nothing gets me going like talking about offensive line versus defensive line. Yes.
Anyway. Big matchup in this one, by the way. Big matchup. Trey Smith, Tennessee's offensive lineman, top 60 NFL draft prospect in the summer. Watch out for him.
True. There's a lot of draft picks probably all over this field, especially for Tennessee. And then, you know, we talk about IU. We talk about maybe WAP going into the draft and hopefully not maybe staying another year. We can talk about that in a bit. Anyways, any last thoughts on Tennessee? Anything before we go, by the way?
No, we'll get into it next week in depth. Again, check out the preview on IndianaHQ.com. It should be a really close game. I would be surprised if either team really takes a 3 or 4 score lead in this one. So it'll be interesting to see. I think both teams will be a little bit nervous. I think it'll be a little sloppy, but it'll be a fun game.
Watch out for Logan Justice. Just throwing it out there. I'll get into it next week. I think he's going to be a big key factor in the bowl game.
For sure. Look out for that podcast next week. By the way, happy holidays, everybody. Happy holidays to you too.
You too, man.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, enjoy the time with your family. If you're going to be with family, enjoy the time. Maybe some Christmas gifts or whatever, you know, whatever you're doing. So I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful holiday season out there. And that is about going to wrap it up for our 121st show of the Hoosier Sound. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you to the live audience that we didn't have for participating in the chat section. We really appreciate all your support. You know, when we go back in 2 weeks to the live podcast, I hope to see all you guys in there and hope you had a wonderful holidays. We'll be back next Monday for another edition of the Hoosier Sound Off. And we'll be back next Monday for another edition of this podcast. News and updates come through Twitter, and subscribe to our show so you don't miss our weekly shows. Most importantly, if you enjoy our show, please leave us a review on iTunes or Facebook. Tell a friend, share our links, talk to some family. When you're talking about defensive linemen versus offensive linemen, make sure you heard first here on the Hoosier Sound, and make sure you share with your family so maybe you have another friend to talk about the podcast with. And then that's how we grow the podcast and reach more passionate IU fans such as yourself. But as always, thank you for listening, Hoosier Nation, and we'll see you next time.
See you later.
See ya.